welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, there are two gentlemans. One of them is to your left, and that is Andy Esimakis. How are you, Andy?
Oh, that's me. Okay, cool. That's my cue. Hi, everybody. How's it going today? How is the life that you all are leading? Hope it's a good one.
It sure is life. It sure is life. And over there on the other side is Taylor. How are you, Taylor?
I can hear my baby screaming right now.
Oh, babies, when they scream, it is literally just a trigger for me. Like,
it's the worst.
I start to rock in place and think about a happy place, and it's really scary. I actually feel bad for you.
I want to make so many bad jokes, but I'm going to restrain myself.
Save your bad jokes for the extra little lines that we like to put after all of our stories of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, this show posts each and every Tuesday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice and records live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. and goes as a video on demand the following night on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. We also have like a ton of other show or a whole other show on here. So that goes up on Fridays. That's Dual Screens Podcast. You should probably check that out, too, because that's an interview show where Andy and I or sometimes just Andy by himself interview all sorts of indie devs and video game talents. So please check that out. And folks, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts or even if you're not and you still have your iTunes account or like an iPod or something, look for the show. Do it right now. Dual Screens Podcasts. With an S at the end, because it's two shows, so it's podcasts plural. You see it? You got it now. Okay. Scroll down and click review. Hit the stars. Write a review. It's the only way to beat the algorithm, folks. It's the only way. I want to be up in the top 25 for video games, and you got to help us do it. So do it, you dumb idiots.
Do the stars.
I love you. I'm just kidding. I love you. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton, the Apprentice Nestler, and FNH Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, lots and lots of changes. And actually, I just decided, hey, Game Pass or Play is up. I might as well put the podcast version up. So you got it there for the $3 tier. You can listen to the podcast version of Game Pass or Play. So that's one of the bonuses. That's one of the like nine things you can get for your support over there on patreon.com/NDS podcast. All right. Now the rigmarole is done. It's out. It's gone. It's all done. It is time for everybody's favorite t-shirt. The Adventures in Gaming, 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 Gaming. Taylor, I'm starting with you. What have you been playing?
Cool. I've been playing some games. Outside of our usual of Apex and Call of Duty and whatnot, two fun single player RPG, actually one fun single player RPG and one not so fun single player RPG. I have been playing Ashen, which I picked up on the Steam Lunar New Year sale. That game is super fucking cool. And I feel like a lot of people forgot that it even came out. It launched on Game Pass, I think, like a year and a half ago. It's a Dark Souls-like game, but you can play it entirely co-op. You have a companion with you all the time. The art style is super cool. The combat's a lot of fun. And the world is super interesting. I love Ashen. So I've been playing that a lot. And I have also been playing Greedfall, which is not fun and kind of sucks. And I don't like the story and it's like white knight thing that it does.
Please expound on that.
Yes. Go into more detail. I'm intrigued.
So the premise of Greedfall is there is this plague that falls over your homeland, right? This is set very much in like a colonial England type setting. So there are firearms, but they're like very early on. There's also magic and stuff. It's a fantasy setting. But it's very much like colonization times. You leave your homeland to seek out a cure for this plague, and you go to what they dub the New World. When you get there, you are immediately met within the first like 10, 15 minutes with a cutscene of one of the native princesses, which they refer to them as, coming into this court, begging for protection and begging for help from these like new colonizers, basically. And every turn after that, they paint these native people to be like stupid or savages or like, it's just way too on the nose for me. And the entire story is just how these colonizers are coming to like save these native people. And it pisses me off so bad. like it just infuriates me how like one-to-one they're trying to make this with like American history, right? Down to the like oppression of native people and the belittlement of native people and stuff. It's like, it's terrible. I had to like quit playing it on my stream because I just couldn't anymore. For some context, my mother is a Native American histories, master's degree holder. She loves Native American people. And like, I grew up learning all about this stuff. And so as I was going through this story, I was just like biting my tongue the entire time until it got to a point where I just couldn't anymore.
Was there an actual moment where you just went, okay, I'm done?
Yeah. Like, yeah, there was, you're walking through a market. And one of the natives comes up to you and he has this dumb fucking accent and talks like an idiot. And is just like begging you to help him because the guards stole his goods or something. And another guy walks by and like spits on him. I'm just like, I fucking can't with this anymore. I just can't.
Oh my God. So, touched the nerve.
Yeah. I played that game for like 5 hours and I don't know if I will play any more of it.
Well,
like I just Alt F4'd out of it and have not even thought about opening it since.
Alt F4, baby. That's the key. That's the key. Yeah. Andy, you've been playing some old shit.
Fascinating. Okay. This is going to be a weird one.
Oh, so, boy. Well, you haven't had a not weird one.
It's always a quest.
Yes.
It's always a journey. It's always
gird your loins.
First I played Immortals. Almost done with it. I'm like right there at the very, very end of the game.
Nice.
Loving it. Now it's all like cleaning up side quest shit, chests, ambrosias, all the other shit along the massive world.
I love that.
That's like almost about done. Mm-hmm. So I played old shit that was made to look like new shit.
Oh.
And I played old shit made to look like new shit, but it was not released shit. Let me go into more detail.
Interesting.
The first one I played was Silent Hill 2, the enhanced edition.
Okay.
This was a response to the HD collection being such a pile of ass that some fans actually took the PC port, made it widescreen, better graphics, a whole bunch of polish on it. It looks gorgeous. Gorgeous. I actually found the game on some old Abandonware website that exists on the internet.
Oh.
That's like all the old PC games from like a billion years ago.
I shudder at the thought of forensically investigating your hard drive. Like, it's got to be just a shit show. It's got to be incriminating just looking at your hard drive.
Andy has so much malware, it's not even funny.
It is. Oh, no. It's all my shit's clean. My shit's very, very clean.
Yeah.
The best in my house. I played that for a bit, and then I played the practically finished but not released remake of GoldenEye 007.
Right, yeah, I heard about that.
That was meant to be on the Xbox 360. That in the 11th hour, Nintendo said, you can't do this, Microsoft. We're going to squash this whole situation. Get rid of it. So it leaked online, got a copy of it, found a 360 emulator, which exists, to my fascination.
Yes, it's called a computer.
Got that running. And the game, yes, and the game is actually really good. It makes me sad because it's a really well done remake. And it's sad that it's just lost. Well, not lost, but it's like it didn't receive a retail release. But all the old magic is still there from 007. And it's
have
a shame
you,
that it was.
Have you Have you noticed anything about it that is like clearly like, oh, yes, this is not quite retail ready. Like, this is where they stopped the work.
Well, you know, when they're doing like the character intro in the beginning, there's like some a little bit of glitchiness with their costume effects. They're jumping out of different costumes.
Oh, weird.
I'm like, that is that intentional? Or is that just weird? I don't know. But the game itself, it's like 98% done. So it's all there.
That's insane.
So
I bet you
send me an email.
I bet you we are further away now from the GoldenEye remake than the GoldenEye remake was from GoldenEye. Think about that.
Sure.
Let's say it was like 07, 08. That would be 10 years, right?
Uh-huh.
So we would be 13 years from when that remake was supposed to be released into the wild. I imagine it was supposed to come out like maybe a year or two after Perfect Dark, right? I feel like that would
fit. I remember it. I recall all of the news feeds about it, the announcements, the trailer, the whole spiel.
Mm.
And I was like, wait, didn't this get released? Well, I guess it wasn't released. And yeah, now just on the old computer, being awesome and functional.
Indeed.
And preserved forever.
I have been getting pretty deep into Days Gone lately. I'm still going back and, you know, trying to finish the damn games and stuff. And
right.
The game is really, really good. Like, I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the story. Once you get past the beginning, which is a little cringy. And I remember feeling that way when I started it, because I did not start over. I picked it up right where I left off, which God only knows what, like, how far into the game I am. I really don't know, because the way they do mission structure, it's you can't just work on one quest line. All the quest lines are kind of intertwined, and they all happen when they want it to happen. Like, you can't just, it's not like Ghost of Tsushima where you could say, okay, here's the main mission, this is what I want to do. It's like, hey, here's this mission, and it's the only one available to you. And you're like, okay, I guess I'm doing that. But it has nothing to do with the main quest. But as you're doing that, other stuff feeds into the main quest, where it's like, okay, now the main quest thing is unlocked, and you can now abandon that mission and go do the thing. It's very weird how they structure it. But it's non-video gaming, and very, it tries to be kind of organic in that way, so you can't be like, oh, I'm almost at the end of the game, because it's more about just experiencing the everything unfolding in front of you, which is kind of cool. I kind of like that, because I honestly have no idea how far I am from the end of that game. I don't even know which story is the main story at this point, to be honest, because they call everything a storyline. So I don't know if it's stuff where he's trying to figure out what happened to his significant other. I don't know if it's the stuff with his other biker friend. I don't know if it's the stuff with the camps. Like, I feel like they're all kind of the main story, but like bits and pieces of them that kind of intertwine. But I like it. I'm starting to really like the characters. I like Deke and Boozer and all of them. And I love just riding the motorcycle in that world. I'm playing it on easy, so it's like very easy going. I could just kind of, you know, hordes will still rip you to pieces, but like, you can have fun. You can just kind of run through it and have fun. So I'm having a blast with it. I also played this Saturday for the first time, and I couldn't put it down, but I'm glad I did, because I'd probably be more tired than I am now. But I played Rocket Arena.
What is that like?
That is really cool and a lot of fun, and it is one of those games that will have you kind of addicted to unlocking things and just playing match after match after match. It is a 3v3. Mm-hmm. Very small arena shooter, where you're just flying all over the map and play all different game modes. There's like a deathmatch game mode. There's getting a ball in the opponent's goal game mode. There's your like domination style game modes, and it's so much fun. And I guess I'm kind of good at it. Like, I felt at least I was doing pretty well. But it's like, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's weird. It's like Splatoon type shooting. Like, that's what it feels like. But it's got like your big boy modes, and then everybody has powers, kind of like an Overwatch. Everybody has like their own thing that they bring to the table. The character that I'm in love with right now is a teleporter. Like he throws a device and wherever it lands, you could then teleport to, and you have like 30 seconds to use it. And it's fantastic because if you land, if you tag somebody with it and you teleport to him, he gives him like a shoulder tackle, and he's just this little kid too. And it's just a blast. Like I'm really liking it a lot. And hopefully I can continue with it. So it's on Game Pass. It's a Game Pass game. And yes, his name is Plinko. That's the name of the character. His name is Plinko.
That big pirate guy looked like he was real good.
He was a pain in the ass. And he's now Bilby123, who is a friend of the show. And the reason why I played the game, that's his main now, because he's just a big old boy that has lots of hit points. Lots of hit points.
Big tanky tank.
Big old tanky tanks. I got back-to-back dubs recently in Apex Legends. It's time now for the minute of Apex. That was cool. Back-to-back dubs. Awesome. When does that happen? You know?
That's great.
It was pretty awesome.
Love that.
I love this season. I think this is the best season they've done.
It's so good.
Like,
it's so good.
Yeah. They really pulled out all the stops, guys. I love Apex. It's such a good game. Yeah. It's such a good game. And I don't even know where they go from here at this point. I'm just like, if this is the last season and it's just this over and over again, and they just rotate game modes and maps, like, okay, cool. Good. I'm here for it. They do have to do some balancing. The new character, whom I really like to play with, is kind of underpowered. At first you think he's overpowered because of how much damage his ult does, but his ult is so easily countered, unless you're playing with him as like in like expert situations. So I think there's some slight balancing that needs to happen with him. But I love playing as him. I love chucking nades across the map. It's just so much fun. The new weapon is great too.
Yeah. 30-30, very good. One of my favorite guns.
30-30, V good. All right. And now it is time to get into the indie news update. Andreas, what do you got for us?
Oh, you guys, there is a game with an ongoing Kickstarter campaign called Ova Magica. If you haven't seen this game, you have to check it out.
Ova Magica.
Link in the chat right now, but I will describe it to you guys.
Ova Magica.
It's essentially, it's Stardew Valley meets Pokemon.
Oh my.
It is so cute. Love it. And this is actually going to be a future guest of the show.
Woo!
Likely nice.
In the next week or so, because the dev, she is incredible. This game looks like some N64 PS1 type awesomeness. And you can literally, now these stretch goals are amazing. You can marry people. You can customize your character. Uh-huh. You can play with the little blob creatures, which are the Pokemon.
They're called blobs. That's very, very blobs. Cute.
Blobs.
The recent one I like is NPCs can join you on expeditions. That sounds like a lot of fun. So this game, which asked for about $25,000, is now up to about $250,000 right now on the old.
Almost.
So that's got 9 days to go. So please check that out and stay tuned for the interview. Hopefully the next week or so with Claudia, the dev. I'm very excited about that one.
Yeah, it says inspired by Stardew Valley, Slime Rancher, and beloved classics like Harvest Moon and Pokemon for PC, Switch, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and PS4 and 5. So pushing the hardware
coming to
their
everything.
Limits.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to virtual
and
boy.
Next year, apparently. So that's a good release window. Next
yes.
Year.
Yeah. Speaking of Pokemon and speaking of Nintendo, oh boy.
You guys.
It's
you
finally guys. Happened.
You guys.
Let's get into the dual screens report with our first bit of news, which is, of course, our Nintendo Direct, which is over 500 some odd days since our last one. That's right. It was the year 2019, the last time we got a proper Nintendo Direct. It has finally happened. Andreas, take it away.
Oh my God, this came out of nowhere. It's happening tomorrow at 2 o'clock PT, 5 o'clock ET, for those of you who want to know the exact timing on that. It's going to be a 50-minute show based on, well, the exact quote, focused on available games like Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and games coming to Nintendo Switch in the first half of 2021.
Okay, we're almost halfway through that, but okay, right, thank you, Nintendo, for that
information.
This is just
stuff through June. Because I imagine that this is like, they're saving another giant direct like thing for around E3.
Right.
Yeah.
For the second half. Yeah.
So this covers the first chunk of the year, even though we're kind of like a good, decent ways through 2021. But still, it's been long enough. It's long overdue. So let's speculate, boys. What do we think is going to happen tomorrow?
Well,
let's like, give me some predictions, some unpredictions, some wacky, zany thoughts. What do you think?
I'm glad you said that because our Facebook question of the week this week is all about the Nintendo Direct and what people, what the people want. So I'm actually going to skip ahead now to that Facebook question of the week, and I'm going to read some answers off. Okay. And then we could discuss this. So Miss Envy says Apex on Switch, believes that Apex on Switch announcement will be made. And also, my dream would be Dragon Age being added. So Dragon Age, maybe collection or some sort. Nathan says Sports Story.
Okay.
We need to see some of that.
Yes,
we need to see some of that.
I'll take that.
And Farmer Pete seconds that. Albob says, I'm hoping for a bunch of Zelda games getting ported to Switch. Ideally, all the 3DS and Wii U games along with Skyward Sword. The ultimate get hype moment would be that they take the motion controls out of Skyward Sword. God bless you, Albob. God bless you. At minimum, I am hoping for ports of the Wii U games. Now, of course, that has some merit because we are almost at the Zelda anniversary year.
It's basically here.
Right. So it's essentially here.
The timing is perfect for that.
Harry says Zelda Mania and then says, wait, actually, what if all the Mario stuff ending on 331 means all the Zelda stuff will start on 4/1?
And then that ends.
Let's think about that.
When in June? I don't like that. I don't like there being cut off points to celebrations.
It's true.
Don't gouge me with this like limited time offers, Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen. I fear it. Here's this half-assed port of games that are from 20 years ago, which you all love so much, and you're gonna buy from us. We'll do a lazy port, and you have like that much time to buy them before they go away forever. We're gonna Disney vault that shit. So buy it now.
Caddy says an apology for their legal department's bullshit. That is fair, Caddy. That is fair. Brett says Metroid news with an exclamation point.
Nah.
Yeah,
I wish.
Devin Peoples, aka Just Peoples, who I'm just gonna take a quick pause here. Moved to Austin, Texas earlier, late last year.
Oh no.
And has been in sub freezing temperatures with no power. A pipe burst under his apartment. Flooded his apartment. He was living out of his car to stay warm with his dog, who is a big, beautiful, like, shepherd mix. I just want to say something. First of all, Peoples, Devin, whom I know personally, is one of the better human beings I've ever met in my life. And he's a good human being, and I love him very much. And the shit that he had to go through, I know people had it way worse, but the fact that it was a friend of mine going through that was really eye-opening. So let's just send our love to those who are completely
can I send some love blankets, some firewood?
It's insane. And everybody out there, stay safe, and hopefully this gets sorted out soon. And you know, all the political shit aside, like I don't care, man. When people are suffering, they need help. We should be helping them. Period. End of discussion. Crafty Gamer Lady says Breath of the Wild 2. God, I hope.
That is,
but no.
For the first half of the year?
Damn. If they did that, man.
That will be their headliner for E3, I think.
If shown this
year at all.
Yeah. Maybe. Braden says, I'd like to see the next Smash character. I would also want to say, want to see some Pokemon news, but I don't know if they would save that for Pokemon Day this month. Zelda news would be sweet, though. I think the Zelda thing might be happening.
Probably get some Pokemon Snap news, I imagine, in there a little bit. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking a Let's Go, but I know that I'm not the only one there.
A Let's Go. Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one, too.
Yeah.
What would they call this one? Would it be like, let's go?
It depends on what
Totodile and Cyndaquil.
It would be Let's Go Pikachu 2 and Let's Go Eevee 2. Because Eevee gets new evolutions and Pikachu mm-hmm. is Pikachu, and you just slap the two on it, and it'll just be in a different region.
Oh, no, it's called two, but it's spelled T-O-O.
Right, because you could play with your friends.
Right, that's how they do it.
Yeah. Billy the Door says, the dream is Zelda ports in Breath of the Wild 2, but I'm prepared for otherwise. More likely is something totally new, kind of like how they announced that Paper Mario game last year out of the blue. I agree. Mm-hmm. We're going to get some bullshit. That is 100% factual. 100% factual. And CT Dub says, would love to see Pikmin. Yes, please, Pikmin.
Pikmin 4? Is that what the
just
what the
any
dream is?
Pikmin. Give me any Pikmin.
Well, we got Pikmin 3 released.
I don't care. I want
that
more Pikmin.
Give me all the Pikmin.
I want a new Pikmin. That's what I would like.
I want all Pikmin. All of them.
I would wait for that Kena Spirits of the Bridges, whatever the hell that game's called.
Yes.
That's your next Pikmin game right there.
CT Dub also says old school Mario Party, which, I mean, they tried and it didn't. I mean, it sold well, but it was not good. And Wind Waker type Zelda game. So you want a Wind Waker sequel? That,
you know, I'm surprised we didn't get Buzz saying he wants Mario Party DLC. In this
Buzz wants the Switch Pro. I'm just going to go ahead and say that's what he wants.
Yeah, just say that.
He wants the big Switch Pro announcement. So what do we think? I know that we were interjecting our opinions on this throughout, but I'm kind of in the vein of that it's possible, but I think the any Pokemon news would be saved for Pokemon Day. Mm-hmm. But I think a Let's Go is inevitable. I just do. That thing sold, what was it, 30 million copies or something like that between the two? Like, it was absurd.
Astronomically well.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I think they'll tease it and say more to come on Pokemon Day at the very, very end of all that shit. Mm. That makes the most sense to me.
Right.
Sure.
I think it's possible to get a Kingdom Bash 2.
Ooh.
Ubisoft has been doing stuff. You know,
that could be good.
I would love that so much.
Maybe get some different characters involved.
That game has like a franchise written all over it, like sequels up the ass, and I need more of that game with more characters from Mario and more rabbits. Weird rabbit takes of Mario characters. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The more insane, the better.
Bone Jangles in the chat. And I'm going to the chat at this point because it's our Facebook question of the week segment here. But Bone Jangle says Temtem early access for Switch. That could absolutely be possible. Ooh. That could absolutely be possible. Because it's coming to Switch. Like, it's confirmed it's been coming.
It is, it is.
But they have not been able to show any of it as far as I am told. And that's the one I backed on Kickstarter. So fucking come on.
You'll finally get it.
Like, please.
All right.
So yeah, I am. Those are all great predictions. I'm gonna go like a little bit on the easy side with this. Low expectations. I think definitely something of a Zelda collection will manifest tomorrow.
Okay.
If not that, a Metroid Prime collection, because that's been rumored for a million plus years, and I think it's the best time to fucking unveil that thing.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Because we're not getting Metroid Prime 4 this year. Maybe next year, hopefully, God willing. But I think that's a good intermediary, having that collection come out on the Switch. Three games bundled, hopefully remastered in some way, not lazy and half-assed like the fucking Mario collection.
There's no chance.
Definitely a Smash character reveal.
Why?
Which should be
is it really time for that again? Don't they do Smash Directs for that shit though?
Why not? Yeah, sure, they could tease it.
Or do they reveal and then say, "All right, our Smash Direct is coming in April 91st."
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
April 91st.
Like, prior to the character's release. Listen, I'm thinking about things happening in the first half of the year, so I think that's a good way to pad like these first few months of the 2021.
A little
Zelda or Metroid collection, a Smash character or two, some other stuff, some DLC. I saw Mario Kart 9
I think DLC,
trending on Twitter, and I'm like, what?
No,
Mario
Kart,
no chance.
There's no need.
Chance. What are you there's talking no about? It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
People keep buying 8 Deluxe, so why are they going to make a new one? I mean, they sure they will at some point, but there's no rush to do that.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen.
What about you, Taylor?
I am keeping my expectations very low. I think they're going to come out and say, we have no games for the first half of 2021. So anything they show, I'm going to be excited about.
Fair.
Realistically, I think Smash character is all but confirmed at this point. Mm-hmm. We'll probably see another weird limited time remake of something. And I'm going to be fucking upset.
I can't believe they're doing that. That's just so bizarre to me.
It's so dumb. It's so stupid. Yeah, but
people keep buying it. That's like, why would you not do that?
There's no reason to make it limited time.
There's no reason not to do it. Yeah, but if people are gobbling it up and it's going on eBay,
they think
that's what it's become now. It's like a black market for like these. Like,
yeah, it's limited going time on eBay games. Because it's like a limited time game.
You
though,
can't you even
know?
Buy it digitally, which is the most asinine concept I've ever heard of.
Yeah,
I understand the physical release.
Do they think that they're the Disney vault? Is that what's happening here?
That's what I said. It's like, I don't get this. Like,
it's going back in the vault.
Their audience loves their content.
Yeah.
Don't put a window like a restriction. Like, you only buy in this time only. Otherwise, you lose your chance.
Otherwise, you're poop out of luck.
Why would you do that? I mean, it's smart business tactic. I'll give them that.
Sure.
But it's still scummy.
I do think everyone like thinking there's going to be some kind of Zelda announcement is a little off base. I don't know that we're going to see kind of like Zelda remakes or Zelda Breath of the Wild 2. Yeah, I don't think we'll see
Breath of the Wild 2. I can see not getting any sort of attention.
No, I don't think so either. Could get a Zelda backpack.
Like that is E3 season material.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a collection, I'm leaning more towards that, if anything. If not that, then the Metroid Prime. But again,
speaking
tomorrow.
I just think people are doing the same thing they always do with these Nintendo Directs, and they're setting themselves up to be disappointed. I just don't think there's going to be any Zelda news.
It's essentially a year and a half, so let them be excited. Sure. Speaking of Nintendo, Sony is copying Nintendo again, ladies and gentlemen.
They did it.
This time, they are copying the analog drift. That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
It's copying lawsuits.
People are mad about stick drift, which I have two controllers and neither of them drift, but I know that that's not, you know, that's anecdotal evidence, but whatever. It turns out their law firm who just wants to make about like $2 or $3 million is now filing a class action lawsuit against Sony for the drift, which came, I don't know, 3 years ahead of the Nintendo one, which I guess is cool. If you got Drift and you want like $3.56, cool, sign up, I guess.
Jump on in.
There was somebody that did a recent teardown, and I wish I put it in the notes, saying that due to like part shortages and like stuff like that from COVID, that they found that the same pieces are used in all the controllers right now, including Xbox, including the third party controllers. Like, they're all starting to use these parts, and they looked at it as like a temporary thing. I find that a little weird, and I don't know how true that is, because like, if you watch teardown videos of the DualSense, it doesn't look the same. And I've taken apart my Joy-Con to replace a stick that had drift. It doesn't seem the same. Like, it's obviously bigger, but the contact did seem a little different. But I'm not really in the know enough about that, but I also don't know if they said that it was the same that was in the Joy-Con, or if it's just that the current controllers are the same and that it's like, well, eventually it's going to happen to this one because it's the same part. That part, I don't know. And again, I don't know the validity of it, because the DualSense is supposed to be like, everything is supposed to be different in that controller. So I don't really understand how that would be any different, but I digress. So people are having drift issues. So get on it now, Sony. Fix that shit now. Test it out.
Claim your $3.
Claim your $3.64.
So fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's so dumb.
Claim your $3.64.
That sounds. I mean, if it happens to me, of course I'll be upset about it. But I would just send it in for repair, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Right, or replacement. I mean, it's still in the warranty, I imagine. Yeah, it's been less than a year.
Speaking of Xbox and PlayStation, all that fun stuff, Xbox had a nice new announcement. Taylor, take this one away.
Yeah, they announced a new wireless headset, and it looks really nice. It is Xbox branded, nice black with a green finish, has a little microphone attached. It is Bluetooth and can be paired with your Xbox Series consoles or Xbox One console, as well as Windows 10 devices. And it looks real good. I don't know. Nothing too crazy.
It looks sleek, but I hate that kind of microphone. I absolutely despise it.
The only thing I don't like about it.
Yeah. Because you breathe, your nose goes directly into that, and I truly hate that. I truly do.
Didn't we evolve past that shit like years ago?
It's just a flaw. Like even the one I'm wearing, the one I'm wearing has like a detachable one, and it ends right here. Like if for listeners, it's like right at my upper lip, and it sounds like trash. Like I hate it.
Yeah.
But I mean, this looks beautiful. It looks super comfortable. Like really, really comfy.
I would say I like all the audio controls it's got. You can the equalizer.
The whole big knob, too. Like the whole ear is a volume controller.
There's a whole wealth of options you can have with this thing. So I like that level of customization with it.
Yeah.
But that little fucking knob thing is like, it was almost perfect.
Yeah, it looks really cool. But yeah, the equalizer is great.
The biggest thing that I think is awesome, though, is it supports things like spatial sound, like Windows Sonic, Dolby Atmos, DTS, which is huge. So being able to take advantage of some of the next gen audio advancements is going to be really cool. It retails for $99.99 and you can pre-order it now from the Microsoft website.
That is that's a damn good price.
Yeah. Not bad.
It's a nice price.
Same price as the PlayStation Golds, right?
Oh no, the what you call it, the PlayStation 5, the what's it called again?
I can't remember.
The space helmet.
Yes. Space helmet.
The space helmet, yes. That's exactly
the doohickey.
Right.
Actually, Buzz Killington has just informed me it is now sold out. When I pulled this story this morning, you could pre-order it. But they are sold out now, so sucks to suck, losers.
fair. Let me see, you did that already. I don't, do I really want to get into that?
Do it, Steve.
All right,
do you
so remember six days in Fallujah?
Yeah,
Andy, take it away.
You know what, I want to ask Taylor, were you alive when this game was announced?
Probably not.
What do you mean? It's only 12 years.
I know, that's the joke I'm making.
Were you alive when, were you alive during the, you were, okay. Yeah, you're not that young. I was going to say during the war it's depicting, but yeah, you were there.
Right, yes. He was there. So this game was announced a lifetime ago, 2009, by Atomic Games, and it was canceled by then publisher Konami due to the growing controversy over, I guess, depiction of war crimes, because that was a horrible situation in Fallujah. I don't know if you guys know about it. It's a literal nightmare scenario, what happened across those 6 days. So people were angry. It got canceled. It went kind of like underground for a very long time.
Yeah.
But now a new studio called Highwire Games, brand new studio, is reviving the project. And it's coming out this year for PC and consoles. What do you guys think? Do we need this game? Should it be released? Everyone's having a titty attack about it, and I kind of love it. I like it when people get angry about things. That's how I operate about in life. If you're mad at it, I want it to happen more. That's my approach to life.
Mm.
Sure.
So give me your take on this.
There was new information that came out about this. Creator or like one of the people in charge, I assume, said that they don't feel the need to tell the stories of, like, I forget the exact words they use, but like the atrocities. They didn't want to show the atrocities of the war.
Here's I'm gonna get you. So they had mentioned, there was a headline I read on Polygon earlier today about
that, where it was
not making the game political. And everyone jumped to the fact, like, well, how do you make a war game not be about politics?
Mm.
And this is a very, like, again, if you know what happened in those 6 days, it's atrocious. But the full context of what they weren't trying to depict the war being good or bad. They weren't going to pick sides, more or less.
Hmm.
But everyone's initial reaction is, well, how, if you don't depict this as American soldiers being savage animals that killed civilians across these 6 days, then you shouldn't make this game. That is the only story you can tell. If you don't show that, it's propaganda. Now, that was the sense I was getting from people's reactions on Reddit and other forums. And, you know, my gut reaction is, you know, this, if it's a game, you know, if you want to make a game that's going to whitewash a chunk of history, and it's going to, first of all, the odds of the game being good are like slim to none. It's not going to be a good game.
Yeah.
This isn't a seasoned developer making it. I think it's like a no-name studio, as far as I know. They have a game called...
Speaking of which, what Golem a fucking project. What a project to pick for your first big release, right? Like, what the fuck?
6 days in Fallujah.
Yeah, well, they're banking on the contract.
Who's Fallujah and where do I sign up?
And it's gonna sprout this whole, like, political debate.
Yeah.
You should tell this story, or, well, if you're doing it the wrong way, well, you're being too political. They're banking on that heat around it.
Of course they are. I wouldn't be shocked if they change course and do something different, but now have the eyes of the world on them. Be like, okay, fine, we won't do that, but check out this really hard-hitting story about war and whatever. Mm. I mean, honestly, I don't care. You make a game. I don't, whatever. Make it about the worst thing ever. I really don't fucking care. Like, none of that shit matters to me. It really doesn't. Mm. Like, Taylor, your whole thing, when it came across your face, what the hell is it called? Greedfall. When Greedfall hit the moment where it was like, okay, you were like, Alt F4. That's what will happen. If this gets to a point, I'm just gonna be like, okay, I'm not gonna play it. I don't care. I can make that choice. Like, you want to, the people who are like, if the game has the whitewashing propaganda, whatever, changing of history.
If it does, yeah.
The people
or ignores it flat out.
Right. If it flat out ignores it, then, I mean, in my opinion, if that's a story you want to tell, I don't care. It's just not a story I want to play. Like, give me something compelling. If it's compelling.
Right.
And, you know, you're making subtle winks to the shit that happened. Compelling. Okay, whatever. But, like, I don't think any of this matters. I mean, again, not a soldier. Didn't fight in Iraq. Maybe to those brave people who...
You don't know.
Or the families of the... I honestly...
Yeah.
Was in high school. So I don't know enough. And I don't... Like, that's a part of my brain that I don't want to adventure down. So...
It does surprise me that they were able to get this approved for consoles, though. Like,
they probably had to make promises, right?
Because of it and stuff. Yeah.
I think,
I just found that interesting.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'll let you guys know that this developer has open DMs on Twitter, and they may have been asked to come on the show. So that should be an interesting one if they say yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
If they say yes.
I would love to ask them questions. All right, Taylor, we got some NPD sales numbers.
We do.
Six Days in Fallujah, is it on this list?
So no,
okay,
actually, fair. Believe it or not,
fair,
not on this list,
not on the list. Got
So NPD Group, which is a US-based group that releases reports on all kinds of retail spending, released their annual PC gaming hardware and accessories report. This also covered software spending and stuff like that, but specifically around hardware spending, in the US, they reached $4.5 billion in spend in 2020, which is up a whopping 62% compared to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
More than 50, I was about to say more than double, but that's not more than double. 62% though increase in spend year over year, because everybody was sitting at home. They got those big stimulus checks from the government, and they did exactly what I did in May and said, I want to build a PC. And then they did. So yeah, they say that COVID-19 lockdown played a huge role in the increase in spending.
Absolutely.
And are expecting very minimal growth this year compared to last. They're forecasting just 3% growth in gaming hardware and accessories in 2021 because of the huge boom that we saw in 2020.
Yeah. Imagine being like only 3%. Like what if you're that guy on that call? On that, like,
yeah,
investor call. All right, we're up 62% from last year. Wow, great applause. That's wonderful news. Uh-huh. We're forecasting a 3% raise on the next year. What? How dare you? It's a failure. Sell.
You telling me that you want to sit in on the investor calls for PC gaming?
I do.
Who's the CEO of PC gaming?
I'm assuming it's Phil Spencer. And I'm assuming it's Bill Gates.
Okay.
Right. And whoever owns Mr. Steam. Mr. Yeah. Valve Steam.
Gabe Newell.
Vab Stevenson. That's who I assume is sitting there. And then there's daddy, what do you call it? Epic over there in the corner. Just kind of sitting there like, can I come out and play? No, you may not. Nobody likes you, but I have free games. Nobody cares.
Old man?
Nobody cares about your free games.
Make your platform look sexier.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, this we all saw this. We all saw this coming. I mean,
yeah,
the most enduring industry endured even more so during a lockdown. Big fucking surprise.
Do you know who's in for a huge payday, like just astronomical?
Tell me.
Coming in the next month or so, or like actually sooner depending on the federal government. Oh, the scalpers. Because now people are going to have $4,000 if you're a family. They're going to be like, yes, I will buy that PlayStation 5 for $1,200. Yes, I will. Here you go. And then that person's going to be like, cool, I'm rich. I could buy a Maserati. All right. Final story here. All right. So
he just says,
So remember when hackers
and you put it there.
I did, because I looked at the headline. I'm like, oh God, this really happened. So CDPR was hacked. Their source code for Cyberpunk was stolen. There was some sort of ransom or some shit.
There was.
And guess what? They didn't meet the ransom. So guess what? The code was now sold for $7 million. Let me reiterate what happened here. The source code, it could be an old source code. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Sure.
Was stolen from CDPR. The source code of Cyberpunk 2077. Stolen. Sold for $7 million. There's no, it doesn't say the buyer, but it was dark web. But we all know who that was, right? We'll see. Well, what the hell's the name of the game? We'll see Genshin Punk 2087 next year. Because Tencent's getting all over this motherfucker. And we'll be putting out the hell out of a ripoff of this. But the most important thing is, can the modders make it playable?
No.
I have a question. I have a question for you, Steven. Now, by Cyberpunk source code, do you mean a pile of old cans and chicken wire?
It's actually just drawings on a napkin from like a 7-Eleven coffee. Yeah, it's like it's a 7-Eleven coffee koozie. Yeah, and a just a bunch koozie. Of like one of those little cardboard little koozies that they put around the coffee in the morning. Yeah. That's what, it's like one of those, but like opened, so like it has like little ridges on the inside.
Right.
That's where that they're like. Idea. Big pangas. Big pangas. Labia question mark? And then it's scratched out.
Exposed butts?
Oh my God. Celebrities? $7 million. $7 million for source code. Like, why would somebody want that? Like, you can go right now and probably No, definitely make something better from scratch. Maybe it's just because they don't want to take as long. I don't know. But something's going to happen. I give this thing 2 years before something comes out and we're like, hmm. That's where the code went.
That feels as broken as Cyberpunk.
That seems like Cyberpunk. It'll star anthropomorphic animals or something stupid. Go ahead, Taylor.
There was a comment in chat that had me cracking up, so I have to read it. I know we don't normally do this. Miss Envy says, it's a photo of Keanu with hearts around it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it.
Just Keanu.
Yeah.
I'm into it. But is he dressed as Leo? Maybe. We don't know. Possibly.
Could be.
Good Lord. I can't with this. The saga of Cyberpunk and CDPR just will not end. Like, oh my God.
They really can't catch a break, these people. It's at this point, I'm starting to feel a little bit bad. I don't, but still, it's like Schadenfreude.
At least somebody has the code. It'll be saved forever.
Do you think this came from? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The data breach.
Yeah.
I think that's what this was.
That's what it was. Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't think this was a disgruntled employee. Just put it that way. This was. Disgruntled fans, people who pre-ordered.
How many people are behind this? Because you got to launder a lot of money if you want to hide that shit from the fucking government.
Totally.
$7 million sale.
$7 million on the dark web. Well, that's .09 Bitcoin.
Now, if they were smart, if it was in Bitcoin, that's probably how they did it.
Yeah,
that shit's encrypted, so that's the way to go.
That's the way to did it.
That's the way.
Speaking of boobs, Andy, what's in the hype zone?
Yeah, I was going to say, the segue's right there. You better take it. It wrote itself. Oh, there is a game right now that is out for the Switch that you all must buy.
Oh, here we go.
Because I am also going to use this chance to plug a future guest on the show. Confirmed today. I am so excited about this one. Galgun Returns is officially on the Switch. And I'm just going to read about this game, if you guys will allow me to. Okay? Here we go. Aim for the ecstasy shot. Every girl has a weak spot where pheromone shots are extra effective. You know you found it when you see things like whatever Japanese symbol that is. Steady your aim and land the shot there. It's usually in the south of the border zone. Mm-hmm. Or in the upper chesticle region.
Right.
Land the shot there, and that'll trigger an ecstasy shot, which gives a girl a euphoria in just one shot.
In
satisfaction of Doki Doki mode. Once you meet certain conditions, you can easily concentrate and marvel at a girl from a bunch of different angles. In Doki Doki mode, fill that girl's Doki Doki gauge within the limit, and not only will you have her euphoria, but you'll also be rewarded for your .. efforts. If you guys have not played this game before, it is the most hysterical thing, I promise you. And I can't wait, because I'm having on someone from P-Cube, the game's publisher. She's a woman, and the idea of a woman and a gay man talking about anime titties for an hour and a half is very exciting to me.
It is must listen podcasting, folks. Must listen. See YouTube.
It is.
So keep it tuned here.
Must see YouTube.
Good Lord.
Andy, why not? I counter with that.
This is true. all right. Let's kick it to chat. Chat, if you have any questions, now is the time to ask them. Aside from why, Andy, why?
What fills
my Doki Doki gauge? That is the grilled cheese sandwiches, in which I had two tonight. So as you can tell, I am ready to go. My Doki Doki is rock hard. Let's talk about our Hype Fam member who was responsible for writing this one in.
I am.
Okay.
So Hype Fam Hype Member of the Week
yes.
is Uncle Cranston.
Okay.
I met Uncle Cranston through twitch.tv.
Right.
Sure. Uncle Cranston is an employee of the Chicago Bulls.
Oh.
He works directly with Benny the Bull.
Oh.
And streams on Twitch sometimes. And he is just one of the most wholesome, positive, awesome humans I have ever just randomly come across on Twitch, and has quickly become a good friend of mine. So please, twitch.tv/uncle, like your uncle, Cranston, C-R-A-N-S-T-O-N. Great dude. Very funny. Loves the Pokemans. Check him out.
That should be interesting. And folks, alrighty, we want to know who you want to hype up. Who is the newest hype? We need to get Uncle Cranston in our chat. That's what we need to do. We need to get him in the chat and make him a true member of the Hype Fam. That's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. But go over there. Somebody put a link in the chat. Click it. Go over there and give a follow and say, hey, Dual Screen sent you. Because you're a Hype Fam, honorary Hype Fam, Hype member, Hype.
Yes.
All right.
Those words.
And we want to know who you think should be the next Hype Fam member of the week. You got to write into us or join our Patreon. And there you could go into our Discord and you could just drop it in there somewhere. But you can write to us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com with the subject Hype Fam Hype.
There's Taylor, only one rule for that.
What's
anybody
the rule?
But Buzz.
Anyone but Buzz.
At this point, I will take entries from any avenue. If you want to tweet at me, if you want to send me a DM on Instagram, I don't check Instagram.
But here's the thing. Tell us why. Tell us why. Give us a little details. Give us details on the person. Why do you think they deserve to be the Hype Fam member of the week? We want you to lead this. Lead the charge. Tell us who you love out there and who you think needs a little magnifying glass upon their brains.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? Hey, we debuted a thing. Like yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Taylor, talk about that before we say goodbye.
So, we recorded for the very first time and definitely did not have to re-record episode number one of Game Pass or Play. It is live now on the YouTube. We've gotten a lot of really great feedback so far. We're going to be tweaking a couple of things. Namely, we're going to be showing some gameplay about the games that we're talking about going forward. But it was really good. It was a good conversation exclusively on YouTube or Patreon as a audio podcast if you want to check it out there. I'm proud of it. I think it turned out really well.
Very excited to have new and exciting and interesting and fresh content on YouTube. We look forward to continuing that and playing a bunch more Game Pass games. That is
we are stupid close to 500 subs on YouTube, you guys.
Yeah, it is like right there.
Single digits.
Yep.
Single digits.
Go
subscribe to the YouTube if you're not already. Create a burner account. Have the burner account go subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Subscribe.
Have your grandma subscribe. Steal her iPad. Yeah. Open up the YouTube.
You know she's
app.
Got one, and subscribe. It probably has that she's, big yeah. magnifying oh, yeah. glass in front of it.
Yeah, huge chunky case.
Yeah,
and like the screen protector that's
probably
like
using grandpa's easel to like put it up, like lean it up against it. We all know you.
A lot of dust underneath there.
Yeah.
Too.
But also, like, weird pencil holder next to it because she thinks pencils are. Mm-hmm. But we listen. It's grandma. You know, we let grandma do what she's got to do. Just go play Scrabble next time. Words with Friends. Exactly. It's our Words with Friends machine. That is going to do it for the show.
Go subscribe.
If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @dual_screens on Twitter, @NDS Podcast on Instagram. I am @BatchHow27. Andy is @PantsGuy. Taylor is @It'sPerger. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. If you would like to join and answer the Facebook question of the week for next week, go in there. It'll be posted eventually. I promise. Thank you for watching live. twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams or later on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Thank you for listening to all your favorite podcast services. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. Thank you, everybody else. And as always, please be excellent to each other.